through things that we have called first things first, and that is basic Bible truths. Some of them are doctrines, some of them are truths. This that we're studying tonight is not really a doctrine, but it is a biblical truth. We often say that the most neglected grace in the Christian life is that of prayer. Of all the things that we can do in serving God, the thing that we struggle the most with, you know, church attendance is one, Bible reading is a grace that helps us grow in Christ, and the one that is probably the most difficult is prayer. I believe that's why the Lord spoke about it so much. The Lord taught on prayer probably as much or more than almost any other topic in the Bible. And that's because it's a neglected thing. But can I say this, that right below prayer on the Christian scale is fasting. Fasting is connected with prayer. Our verse, Matthew 17:21, Jesus said, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." The Lord was telling His disciples, if you want to see God do something, and it's an immovable object, so to speak, it's something very deep, very difficult, Jesus told His disciples, the only way this gets done is by prayer and by fasting. So I want us tonight to look at what the Bible says about fasting. Now, as I do, let me give a precursor to this. We already have ideas about fasting. Our ideas are usually health-related. All right? Fasting for health reasons is not a biblical fast. Now, that doesn't make it wrong. It doesn't say you shouldn't do it. But I want you to separate that. We're looking strictly at what the Bible says about fasting. In all cultures of the world, people fast for different reasons. For health reasons, usually. Sometimes you hear people say, well, you know, I'm doing a juice fast. And that's fine, but that's not a Bible fast. That's a health-related thing. And again, that's not to diminish that or say it's not important. Fasting is not dieting. In fact, if you've ever fasted to lose weight, you found out that all that you lost in fasting, you gained in one meal when you got done fasting. So fast, just shutting off food is not a way to lose weight. That doesn't help anything. But what we're looking at is biblical fasting. So let's separate it from all the other philosophies, because you know, you can go on the internet and find out about fasting and you get all these suggestions, you know, do it this way and do it that way and here's how it's supposed to be done, and they're all health related. This, we're going strictly from Scripture and looking what the Bible says about this area of fasting. Now, I don't know about you, but when I started digging into this, I was surprised. I looked up the words related to fasting, and of course the first one is fasting, and I found out as I went through my concordance that that word is in the Bible 17 times. And I thought, well, that's not a lot, but that's some information. You know, that's, if I'm going to put this lesson together, that's basically where I'm going, to the Word of God. So, all right, I've got 17 references to use to figure out what I'm going to teach. Well, then I thought about that. Well, that's not the only tense of the word. Fasted, the past tense, they fasted and prayed. And I found that fasted was in there 15 times. And then as I was searching, I found the word fastings 4 times. Then I was surprised to find this one, the word fasteth. And that's a past tense of fasting. And then the word fast. And that's what we're talking about. When we talk about fasting, we're talking about fast. But the word fast is in the Bible a lot of times. And so I had to go through the whole list to find out, not about hold fast, not stand fast, not running fast, but just the word fast in regard to the context of what we're talking about. And I was surprised, and I was surprised that it appeared exactly 40 times. Now, the reason I was surprised is because when I got done, I thought, God, aren't you something? I added up fasting and fasted and fastest and fasteth and fast, and I came up with, and this is your blank on the paper, 77 times that this word appears in Scripture. Now, the reason that I think that's amazing is because this 7 is the number of completion. That's God's number. God's number is the number 7. And you don't get much better than 77. Yeah, how many times shall I forgive my brother? 70 times 7. So those 7s are good numbers. And here in the Bible, fasting is talked about exactly, not 76, not 78, but exactly 70
Oh,
77 times. And so I thought that, you know, just that's me, but I thought that was a pretty amazing thing. As I was researching, as I was reading, as I was looking up all the references, I made here a list of those that specifically in the Bible fasted. Anna the widow in Luke chapter 2 is the first one listed there. Then even old wicked King Ahab. Barnabas and Paul fasted together. The children of Israel fasted on many different occasions. In fact, they had set days of fasting in certain months, so it was a common practice for them in the Old Testament. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and we'll look at him later. Daniel fasted in Daniel chapter 9. Darius the king in the book of Daniel fasted. David fasted in 1 Samuel. Elijah fasted. Esther, in her book, fasted with the people in Shushan the palace. Ezra and the people fasted, looking for God's direction. Jesus, as you know, fasted in Matthew 4 and Luke chapter 4. Moses, we'll talk about him in a few minutes. Moses fasted. Nehemiah fasted. The Ninevites, all right, when Jonah went and preached to them, they repented in sackcloth and ashes, and they fasted. They proclaimed a fast. Paul, the apostle, in fastings oft. That's what Paul says twice in Corinthians, in fastings often. So Paul made a habit of it. The Pharisees, and I know we don't like those guys, but they observed the practice of fasting, and others. There were other people in the different areas. So fasting is a very well-known practice in the Bible. So if it's in there 77 times and all these people fasted, when's the last time you did? And I only say that because that's what the Lord said to me when I was studying. If it's in there so many times and so many people do it, Steve, when's the last time you did it? And I believe we're missing out on something, I don't want to say a tool, but we're missing out on something that increases our communication with God. Prayer is our avenue of talking to God, but fasting is kind of an extra booster on the prayer that gets God's attention. And we'll talk about it as we look about fasting and all that the Bible has to say. But let's start with this introduction that the word is there 77 times and all these people, and again, many others. I couldn't list the group, all the different groups of people. But fasting was a very important and common practice in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. So it's not just an Old Testament thing. All right, let's look at number one. What is fasting? And we're looking for the Bible to tell us what fasting is. Again, if you Google it, you'll get all kinds of suggestions and advice, and they're not necessarily wrong. But we're looking from a biblical perspective, what is fasting? Now, the verses that we're going to look at are already written out on the paper, so that makes it easy for you. But in Luke chapter 4, and I would challenge you to go back and, you know, we are to compare Scripture with Scripture. And there's two accounts of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. These accounts are in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. That makes it very easy to remember. And in Luke chapter 4, in verse 1 and 2, the Bible says that when Jesus was in the wilderness, he did eat nothing. He did eat nothing, and he afterward hungered. Those are the exact wordings in Luke chapter 4. Jesus, and there's other words, you see the dot, 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 there's other words, but I'm trying to emphasize what we're looking at. Jesus did eat nothing, and afterward he hungered. That same account is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. The exact same story. Only Matthew, instead of saying he did eat nothing, he said Jesus, when he had fasted. So by comparing the two verses, we understand that the word fasted is a replacement for did eat nothing. Luke says he did eat nothing. Matthew called that fasting and said, and afterward, he was a hungered. And so we understand that what is fasting? Letter A, it's not eating food. I know that sounds simple, but that's where we're supposed to start with the simple. And we build upon that. Fasting is not eating food. Now again, we will fast for diet's sake. We will fast for health's sake. But scriptural fasting is not going to be for that. It's going to be for a spiritual motive. And we'll talk about that more as we go on. But the definition of fasting is not eating food. Notice in Exodus 34:28, this is right before Moses He's up in the mountain. Before he went to get the Ten Commandments, the Bible says of Moses in Exodus 34:28, and he did neither eat bread nor drink water. Again, on the health side, when people say, well, when you fast, you can eat things, or you don't eat anything, but you can drink juice or you can drink water. Well, again, I'm not going to worry about the health stuff. I'm just saying when Moses went up, he did. I kind of think that Jesus in the wilderness probably didn't have any water either, but the Bible doesn't specifically say that. But here when it talks about Moses fasting, it said he didn't either eat bread nor drink water. So that leads me to letter B. What is fasting? It is not satisfying the flesh. Not satisfying the flesh. Now you understand why we don't fast very often? Because we are servants to our flesh. Our flesh wants things. I'll share this story. It's Tuesday. Yesterday, I go home a little bit early from the church and I take Aaron to piano practice. Sonia's got Ivy and takes care of her, so I drive home and take Aaron, I take her out to piano. And Aaron has in the last week, with the help of a nutritionist, is working on her diet. Not for weight's sake, but for some different patches, issues she's got on skin. But nevertheless, she's working on cutting back. Well, our routine on Tuesday, going to New Concord to piano practice, has been me picking her up at 4 o'clock. That gives us 45 minutes. And the reason we had 45 minutes is it gave us time to stop at Circle K. And on Circle K, we got our snack to eat before we went to piano practice. I won't tell you what mine is. It's none of your business. But Aaron's, because my wife's listening too, Aaron's snack was a bag of barbecued Doritos. No, barbecued Fritos, and a slushie. All right, now she's trying to eat a little bit better. So she got what I got. She got a Clif Bar, if you're familiar with those, and a water. Well, we went and we had our snack and she went to piano and she came out and she said, Dad, I'm hungry. She said, why is it? I ate breakfast, I ate lunch, I had a snack. She said, why is it that I'm hungry? And I explained to her the reason she's hungry is because she's eating healthy. And I said, when you went into Circle K, your body said, yay! I said, when you went over there and got a Clif Bar and a water, your body said, what? And I said, when you came out and drank the water and ate the Clif Bar, now your body now said, okay, that was nice. Now where's the Fritos and the slushy? She's hungry because her body is used to things and her body is demanding those things. Now that's kind of a frivolous or silly example, but that's what our flesh dictates to us so many areas of our life. We always talk about the spiritual realm, about, you know, not being worldly, watching what you watch and what you listen to, what you read and all that kind of stuff, denying the flesh. Well, this is talking about denying the flesh as far as appetite is concerned. And you understand, when we begin doing that, God, is the way I see it in the Bible, God pays special attention. Because He knows we mean business with God when we start denying our flesh. It's easy to pray with food in your hands. It's easy to pray, God bless this food, before you eat lunch. But now we're praying without the food to follow, and God says, all right, that gets my attention. And so fasting is not satisfying the flesh. Notice the verse David said in Psalm 69:1. I wept, and here's the word, chastened my soul with fasting. He's chastening himself. He's punishing his body. He's not giving in to the demands. Now it says I chasten my soul, but that's at one with the body when we're talking about not feeding it. He said, I chasten my soul. In Isaiah 58:3, it says, wherefore have we fasted? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? And if you've ever fasted, you know that's what it is. You're chastening yourself. You're afflicting yourself by denying your body what it demands and what it craves. And so that's what fasting is. Fasting is not eating food and not satisfying the flesh. Look at Psalm 109, if you would. I know you're in Matthew. We've got most of these verses written here, but I like this verse in Psalm 109. Again, there are so many verses in the Bible about fasting, and my biggest problem is struggling to get it down into one lesson like this. But Psalm 109 in verse number 24. Notice what David said here. Psalm 109 in verse 24. My knees are weak through fasting. Isn't that the truth? Psalm 109, 24. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. The lack of food does cause physical weakness. That's associated with it. If you deprive your body of food for a long time, you're going to get weak. You know what our body tells us? The minute we miss the first meal, my knees are weak. My flesh is failing with fatness. The body's telling us after one missed meal, hey, that was nice, that was a good idea, and I'm sure God paid attention, now let's get something to eat. Our flesh rebels against the spiritual things we try to do. And so it's good for us to try to put our flesh down. It's good for us to find avenues to just say, I'm going to deny my flesh. So fasting is that opportunity of not eating food and not satisfying the flesh. Number two. Number one, what is fasting? Number two, these folks that I listed up there, Anna, Ahab, Barnabas, the children of Israel, and so forth, when did they fast? How do you determine? You say, all right, I think I should fast. I think God would like me to fast. I had a lady from our church come probably 2 or 3 weeks ago on the way out before the revival meeting with Dr. Hamblin. On the way out, she said to me on a Sunday morning, I believe it was, she said, God has moved upon me to fast for the revival meeting. And so if she did that, and I haven't followed up on it, but if she did that, and she asked me for devotional material that she could read instead of the meals she would be eating, so that not only was she setting the flesh aside, but doing something spiritual in the process. And she asked about that. All right, when do we fast? Do we just fast? It's a good thing to do. I think I'll do that tomorrow. You've got to have a little more motivation than that, or it really isn't going to happen. So when did people in the Bible fast? And letter A, they fasted before important events. They fasted before important events. If something's coming up, like that young lady telling me, I'm fasting for the spring revival. If something's coming up that you really want to see the hand of God in, then you fast for it. Now how long, we'll talk about in just a few minutes, but when you see that target, when you see something, if you have something, a situation in front of you, and you really want God's attention, fasting is the thing that does that. Notice some examples here, and we'll try to not get bogged down in these, but they're all, each one of them are so wonderful that it's hard not to do it. When did they fast? Before important events. One of the first examples, or the first I listed here, was Exodus 34:28. I referred to that already. That's where Moses did neither eat bread nor drink water right before God gave to him 2 tablets of stone with the commandments written on them. He was fasting when God gave him the 10 commandments. Now you know what the 10 commandments are, right? Here we are, thousands of years later, and they're still a main topic of news and information, and still a very vital part of our society. And those were given as the result, as far as the timeline is concerned, as the result of Moses up in the mountain praying and fasting. And so before God gave the 10 commandments, Moses was found praying, fasting. Esther chapter 4, verse 16. We know the verse, if I perish, I perish. Esther says she's going to go into the king. She's going to reveal that she's a Jew, because that wicked Haman has sent out an edict that all the Jews on a certain day are going to die. And Esther's going to go in before the king and plead her case. But before she does, in Esther 4:16, she says to all the Jews in the palace of Shushan, she said, let us pray and fast for 3 days. And if I perish, I perish. So before she went into the king to make her request, she fasted. Fasting before an important event that we really want God's attention about. The third example there is 2 Samuel 12, verse 21. Before David knew the will of God concerning his newborn son, he fasted. Bathsheba had given birth. God had stricken the baby, and we understand the circumstances, Bathsheba, David, all that kind of stuff. But David didn't know whether that young son was going to live or die. And so he went into his chamber and he closed the door, and for 7 days he prayed and he fasted. He did eat no meat, the Bible says, in 1 Samuel 12. He did eat no, or maybe it was bread. He did eat no bread. He didn't eat anything for 7 days while he prayed and fasted that God would deliver that young boy's life. You know the story. He walked out one day and he overheard the conversation of the servants. The baby had died and he perceived that and he stopped his fasting when that was over. And they kind of surprised the servants. They said, how come while the baby was suffering, you were praying and fasting, now you find out he's dead, you stopped? He said, there's nothing I can do about it now. Fasting was seeking the will of God and asking God to do something in particular. And David fasted before he knew the will of God concerning his baby. In Daniel chapter 9, this is good. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3, he's down by the river and he's praying, making supplication, and fasting. In verse number 21 of that chapter, because of that, as a reward for that from God, God sends the angel Gabriel down to meet Daniel by the riverside. Daniel, and again, we don't have time to go look at all this, but Daniel has been reading the prophet Jeremiah. He's been reading about these weeks and days of weeks and all that, and he knows there's something there in these scrolls and manuscripts, but he doesn't quite know what it is. So he begins to pray and to fast and make supplication, and God sends Gabriel, the angel, down and shows him the vision of the 70 weeks. The greatest prophecy in the Old Testament that is still in effect in the New Testament was delivered to Daniel because he was praying and fasting. He'd been studying his Bible, so to speak. He'd been studying Jeremiah, and he wanted to know what it meant, and so he was fasting, and God gave him a special revelation, sent Gabriel down, and showed him the vision of the 70 weeks. All this happened because Daniel was fasting before that occurred. Matthew chapter 4, we've made reference of already. Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, led of the devil into the wilderness, and there he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And afterward he was a hungry, and the devil came and tempted him. If thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. And he tempted him. But Jesus prayed and fasted before that temptation. He was empowered by his praying and fasting before he faced the devil one-on-one. Now let's simply ask this question. If Jesus, the Son of God, God in flesh, had to fast in order to attack the devil one-on-one, how much more so do you and I of mere and normal flesh and blood? Jesus, before his temptation, that's why part of the reason he was successful and the devil left him in the wilderness after he tempted him 3 times and Jesus rebuked him, the devil left him. As a result, he was fasting in preparation for the temptation by the devil. Acts chapter 10, verse number 30. The beginning of Acts chapter 10, we're introduced to a man named Cornelius. And the Bible said he gave alms to God regularly. He was a devout man. And it told him to send to Joppa for one named Peter, who would show him the way of salvation. When Cornelius gives his testimony about that, later in Acts chapter 10, down around verse 30, he talks about that vision. He said, I was praying about this time 4 days ago. I started praying and fasting until this hour. And he said, and then a man came and I sent for a man named Peter who came and showed me the way of salvation. So Cornelius was praying before God sent him a special messenger, Peter, to show him the way of eternal life. The way for him and his household to trust Christ as Savior. It was a result of the fact that he, even as an unsaved man, again, I mentioned Ahab, the Pharisees fasted. And here Cornelius fasted and God rewarded him by sending him Peter and showing him the way of salvation. Lastly, in events, and there's probably others. These are just some that I came across as I was looking. When did they fast? Before important events in Acts chapter 13. And there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers such as Barnabas, Niger, Saul. And these men were there. And they were, the Bible said that they were praying and fasting. And God said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. When the leaders of the church at Antioch were praying and fasting, God came down and said, all right, I want to start something new here. I want to start what people are going to call for ages after this, missions. And I'm going to pick Saul and Barnabas, and I want to send them forth. That voice from heaven came to set the very first missionaries because they were praying and fasting. So we see that in Scripture, fasting preceded wonderful, miraculous events. When we need God to do something, that's a good time to fast. When our eyes are fixed, not just for a generic reason, not just for no reason, not just to do it, but when we need something that we need God to do. All right, letter A, they fasted before important events. Letter B, they fasted during important events. All right, we can understand fasting before important events, but now here they're fasting in the middle of certain circumstances, in the middle of certain events. In Deuteronomy 9:18, and again, I would encourage you to take this lesson later, take it home, look over it, look up these references. I think it'll be a blessing to you if you'll study these things. In Deuteronomy 9:18, in verse number 9, we read the same thing as Exodus 34:28, that Moses, before he received the Ten Commandments, fasted. And by the way, it was 40 days and 40 nights, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But then Deuteronomy 9:18 tells us that when he came down from the mountain with the two tablets in his hand, and the people down in the valley were having a riot down there, they were dancing and singing around, and they'd made a molten calf out of gold that Aaron had molded, had melted down. You remember all that story? And when Moses saw that, he broke the tables of stone, and he fasted again for 40 days and 40 nights. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 18. He was fasting because he was seeking the forgiveness of God on the children of Israel. In the middle of their rebellion, in the middle, he's got the two tablets of stone in their hand. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the people at the bottom of the hill are dancing around saying, these be thy gods that brought thee out of Egypt. And they got molten calves in their hand. They were breaking the commandments even as Moses was coming down the hillside with them in his hands. And so when he saw that, he literally broke the two tables of commandment. Now God later wrote them again. But when Moses broke them, he fasted then for 40 because of the sins of the people and asking and begging God for mercy and forgiveness for the people. There are times that we're in the middle of something. Something's going on in our life and we need God. That's a good time to institute fasting. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Ezra 8, 21. I'm going to read this one just because I want to get it right. As soon as I find out where Ezra is. After 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Ezra chapter 8. Listen to the verse if you would. Ezra says this, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God. Remember we talked about that, not satisfying the flesh, chastening, afflicted. So Ezra 8:21 also tells us that fasting is afflicting, that we might afflict ourselves before God. Notice, to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. As they were making their journey, they stopped by the river Ahava. They stopped in the middle of their journey and they prayed that God would give them direction, that God would show them the right way that they were to walk. And so again, what a wonderful lesson to us that a wonderful opportunity for fasting is in the middle of a trial, in the middle of circumstances that we don't know which way to go. And we want God to show us so we can take advantage of this thing called fasting.
I think I mentioned this earlier, but the third one is Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. After Jonah had been delivered from the belly of the whale and went into Nineveh and began proclaiming that they needed to repent. Repent. And they did repent. And when they repented, the Bible says they repented in sackcloth and ashes with prayers and fastings. And the king of Nineveh said, "We don't know if God will turn away His anger from us. We've repented. Now we're hoping God will turn His anger away from us." So after repenting, they were seeking the Lord. In the middle of that situation, they were seeking the Lord to turn away His anger. They fasted. And then lastly, and during important events, is Acts 27 and verse 33. In Acts 27, Paul is on a ship set for Alexandria, and the ship goes down. And everybody on it is going to die. And the Bible tells us that not only Paul, but the centurion and the soldiers and the prisoners, everybody on the ship fasted for 14 days, asking for God to give them deliverance from the storm and from the shipwreck. They were fasting, waiting for God's deliverance. In the middle of a great trial, in the middle of a tragedy, they were seeking the protection of the Lord. And they just thought that praying wasn't enough. So they did it with prayers and with fasting. Now let me say this as a side note. There's no letter C. A, they fasted before important events. B, they fasted during. There's no letter C. They fasted after. It's over. It's done. You can't do anything about it. It's finished. So after it's over, there's nothing you can do about it. The time to fast is before it and during it. And so that's when we find the biblical example of when people fasted. That brings us to number three. How long did they fast? How long? The first one, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, and you probably know this answer off the top of your head. They each fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine fasting for 40 days? And again, Moses did it twice. Twice in a short span of time. 40 days, got the Ten Commandments, broke them, 40 days again. Now, the health experts would tell you that's not healthy. And it probably isn't. But Moses didn't listen to the health experts, I guess. They would tell him, if you're going to fast, you don't have to eat food, but you got to drink water. He didn't eat food or drink water. There were no doctors around to tell him. Now please, I'm not a medical doctor either, so I'm not speaking on the medical aspect. I'm speaking on what they did. They fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. You know why that's, I need to know that? Because when I skip the one meal and the flesh says, you can't do any more than that, I could say, no, I know I can. Because Moses existed doing 40 days twice in a short period of time, and he's the same body as I'm made up with, the same lungs, the same members. If he can do it, I can do it. I can make it past one meal. I can make it past one day. I can make it past one week if I really was determined to do it. So I'm not encouraging you to fast 40 days and 40 nights. But boy, if you're facing something like Moses, Elijah, or Jesus, you know what Elijah was facing? Jezebel. Remember her? He just had the great victory on Mount Carmel. He wasn't fasting because of that. But Jezebel said, so be to God if I'd make your life like one of those false prophets you slew on the top of the mountain. And Moses, Elijah, the Bible says there in 1 Kings chapter 19, he ate bread and drank water and then went on the strength of that bread for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat again for another 40 days as he was worried about Jezebel finding him and cutting him off, destroying him. So Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, he's fasted 40 days. That is the longest fast recorded in the Bible. You can read stories of somebody that fasted for 100-something days and all that kind of stuff, and I'm not here to tell you yes or no, right or wrong. I'm just sticking to what the Bible says right now. Because I know it's right. You know, any information you get off the internet, You don't know if it's right or not. They can fake anything. You've heard of photoshopping, right? They can put anything on there they want to. I'm reading a book. It's a humongous book about Abraham Lincoln, Team of Rivals. And I'm just amazed at the parallels between Abraham Lincoln and our current president. And everybody around him was against him. I mean, even the people he appointed as Secretary of State and Secretary of Navy, they both wanted to be the president at the next election. So every opportunity they were cutting the throat of Abraham Lincoln. It's a wonder he accomplished anything. Why am I saying this? I knew there was a reason for that and I lost it. I got so excited about that story, what I'm reading. So let's go on. 40 days. Oh, I know what it was. They began to put the newspapers in that day, 1864, the newspapers in those days, that they were reporting stories about his wife Mary that just absolutely were not true. And they knew they were not true, but they sold papers. So they wrote these falsified stories. I thought, human nature has not changed from 1860 to 2017. And newspapers will report and put things that they know are not right and they know are not true and later be proved not to be true, and yet they put them in there anyways. Human nature is still the same. And so you read these reports of somebody fasted this many days, that many days. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I know in the Scripture the longest recorded fasting was 40 days. It can be done. Now, do you need to do it? I don't know. That's between you and God. If you ever face something monumental enough to have to do it, just understand, you can do it. All right, the second one. And we said this already. Paul's shipmates fasted 14 days. Paul's shipmates fasted 14 days. Now, that's a big drop from 40 to 14. I couldn't find anything in Scripture between the two. But Paul's shipmates, again, the ship was being tossed by the waves and the storm was raging and they were worried about losing their lives, and so they fasted for 14 days looking for God's deliverance. The people of Jabesh-Gilead fasted 7 days. They fasted 7 days. The valiant men of Jabesh-Gilead went over and got the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan and brought them back to be buried in Jabesh-Gilead. And during that process, they fasted 7 days. So did David, as we mentioned already, when he was praying for that son, his life to be spared. David went into that room and did go without bread, without anything, for 7 days until the baby died, and then he came out. Nehemiah fasted certain days. Now, by certain days, it doesn't mean like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It means a certain number of days. We don't know how many. But Nehemiah fasted a number of days, a few days, I don't know how many it is. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 30, fasted 4 days. All right, and again, in Acts chapter 10, verse 30, he said, I was fasting 4 days ago when this happened. I was fasting from that time until now. The Jews in Shushan the palace in Esther, again, I made reference that she was going to go in before the king. She said, pray for me and fast. They fasted 3 days. If it was coming up on Friday, they started fasting on Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. All 3 days. They prayed and they fasted because Esther was going to risk her life going in before the king. The Pharisees fasted twice a week. They fasted twice a week. You remember, and again, we don't like the Pharisees, and for good reason, but they were religious folks, and they were trying to please God, and so 2 days in the week, they would pick out to fast and to pray. Now, you know the problem, Jesus said, they were hypocrites, because they would paint their faces to make it look like they were fasting. The object is, when you're fasting, you're not supposed to let anybody know that you're fasting. All right, when you're fasting, you don't go around saying, I haven't eaten anything for 3 days. Why? Because I'm praying and fasting. Well, there's another verse, I wish I'd written it down. I have humbled my soul with fasting. I don't remember the reference, but it's I humbled my soul with fasting.
So fasting is not something you brag about, but the Pharisees did. They went around with a countenance on their face that let everybody know they were denying their flesh. Jesus said, when you fast, don't do it like the Pharisees and hypocrites with their faces. All right, but they did fast twice a week. Many fasts in the Bible were one day. The Jewish custom in the 3rd, 5th, and 7th month, I believe it was to have a day of fasting. They would proclaim a fast when they wanted God's attention, when they wanted something done on their behalf, they would fast. It was a regular part of their schedule. And then lastly, Darius the king fasted one night. One night. When Daniel was getting thrown into the lion's den, King Darius had been tricked into making that decree that caused Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. And Darius loved David. So when David got thrown into that lion's den that night, Darius paced the palace, would have no food brought to him, and he stayed up all night, and the Bible tells us he fasted one night. Now, if I was going to fast, that's what I'd do. One night. Go to bed early, sleep in the next morning. I just went 10 hours without food. Now, we say that's humorous. But you understand, one night to the Jew was 6 at night till 6 in the morning, 12 hours without eating. And again, that's the introduction to fasting. Not fasting from 12 at night to 12 in the morning, or 6 at night to 6 in the morning. You know, if you ate lunch and then ate dinner before 6, I guarantee 10 o'clock at night your stomach's saying, all right, what are we doing before bed? What are we going to do now? And about 3 in the morning, your stomach's rolling and grumbling and saying, hey, let's take care of this need. So that is the shortest fast that I find in the Bible. And so if you look at that list and start at the bottom and go up, we see where we can start and then where we can work to. We can go from one night to one 24-hour period, to twice a week, to 3 days, to 4 days, to certain days, to 7 days, and 14 to 40. Now, the whole purpose of this study is simply this. Not to tell you to fast, not to give you a certain day to fast, but to realize you have, and I hate to say it this way, but let's just a weapon in your arsenal against the devil that you're not taking advantage of. And I say that not pointing a finger at you, I say with me included. You know, when I began studying this, when the Lord laid fasting on my heart, I said, God, you know, I'm in trouble here because I'm going to teach on something I have very rarely done. You're asking me, you're leading me to teach on something that's going to be all academic to me because I remember one or two times I've ever done this that I felt so serious about something that I actually fasted. And so I'm not giving you a lesson on what you ought to do that I'm doing. I'm challenging all of us that there are some times that we just need to deny this flesh. Think of it this way. We talk about the drug addict, the alcoholic, the smoker. Bless God, deny your flesh. Don't be hooked. Don't be addicted. Maybe we say that to the coffee drinker too. No, we won't go there. We say that to the person that has to have those different chemicals, has to have those things. We say to the drug addict, you're saved now. You can break that. You can say no to your flesh. All right? Next time you're tempted to say that, tell God you're going to fast for 24 hours before you approach that person about denying their flesh and getting over that bad habit that they've got. And then realize the flesh is not so easy to rule. The flesh is not so easy to dictate. That's not making excuses for allowing the flesh to dictate anything, but understanding we need just as much to be able to fight the devil by breaking the desires and clutches of this flesh as well as anybody else does. I have known preacher friends, I think of one for example, that fasts every Friday. It's not for a specific need per se, it's for all of his needs. Every Friday he gives himself on that day to prayer and fasting and spends most of his day praying and all of his day fasting every Friday of the week. I think that's wonderful. He said, why don't you do it? I think it's wonderful that he does that.
I'm not saying I shouldn't. I'm not saying anybody. That's a wonderful thing. But I'm just saying we need to pay more attention. Jesus said, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. What's that prayer request? We've been asking God. Nothing's happened. How about prayer and fasting? Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.